Yeah.
We need a few more, maybe coins, silver dollars would be better for the push cut. It's full of coins. Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Sorry I'm late. I had one child fall asleep literally on the floor last night, Baruch Hashem, from the bat mitzvah, and one is still sleeping. So I had to, usually I leave earlier, but we didn't want to wake her up. It would not be good. So, apologize. Thank you. Okay, so let's begin. We're up to Perek Tes Zayin in Sefer Shoftim. We're learning about Shimshon. This is really the last Perek about Shimshon, which ultimately leads to Shimshon's demise. And we pointed out last time that we already saw a hint to how things are going to end up. Because at the end of last Perek, the Navi tells us, by Yishkot Es Yisrael, be made Plishtim Es Shimshon. That Shimshon was the shofet for 20 years. As if to say, like, Shimshon's life is over. Like, usually at the end of, like, these are the exciting things. And he ended up being a shofet for 40 years, 8 years, 11 years. And then we go on to the next one. Here, the end, but there's still more. So the Radak writes, because even though, yes, this is there was more left, this does not reflect the positive leadership qualities, to say nicely, of Shimshon. And therefore, there's a demarcation in the language in the Tanakh. Vayelech Shimshon Azasa. So Shimshon goes to Aza. That is what we know today. It's Gaza. That's where he goes. Vayarsham Isha Zona. So Aza, we should know, is one of the Arei Plishtim. In Tanakh, there's a 5 Arei Plishtim. This is one of the 5 cities of the Plishtim. They most notably come into play in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, when the Plishtim kidnap or steal the Aro. They bring it around to all their Plishti cities, and that's when we really get to know about and learn about the Plishtim and their cities. Vayarshan Isha Zona. He sees an Isha Zona. Isha Zona, we generally assume, is a prostitute, a harlot, a kadesha. He sees her, vayavo elah, and he's with her. The Radak here, and this is not just the Radak here, but extra credit, pre-COVID, we learned about somebody else that was called the Isha Zona. And the Radak had the same exact comment. Anyone know? What? Rachav Hazona. Rachav Hazona, says the Radak. Targum. Itasa Pundakisa. She is a woman in charge of an inn. A pundak is an inn, a motel. Ukvarkasavnu das matargim v'inyan Rachav Hazona. Zona also means mizonos, food. So a pundikisa, a woman in charge of a motel, is the one that, like, she probably has got the apron on and she's taking care of the bed and breakfast. So she's called a zona, right? Got to be careful, like, what you call people these days, right? But that's, okay, so that's a different approach. Why is that important? Because it's going to change the tone of the conversation here about what exactly is Shimshon doing with this woman. Who is this woman, right? If she's a zona, so then that is much more challenging in terms of, like, hello, this is a leader of the Jewish people. What in the world is going on over here? If it's an Isha Zona, that's a Mizonos, and okay, she's a business lady. Wonderful. Good.
But he went after so what's...
Good. Yeah. That
what's the big difference?
Thank you. That was my Rabbi. Next
point. Rabbi.
The next point is, 1 second, Milti. The next point is that what Mendy said is, either way, this is a non-Jewish woman. So, good. Next point. Well, Milti, what's what you want to share?
You read by Yobo Eleha.
Yes.
Which means not. Which means he has some sexual relations with her.
Yes, correct.
So it's not that he just. So the other argument that it's a person who runs it in is out. So it's obvious.
So it's obvious that she must be a zona in the colloquial sense of what a zona.
If we use the term by vo elaha, then that has to be the case.
Yeah. So the Abarbanel then takes it a step further. The Abarbanel writes that we learned already, the Gemara writes, that Tchilas Kilkulo, the beginning of his downturn, right, was with his eyes, Vayar. And again, what does the Navi say here? Vayarsha. He was always with his eyes. He saw it and he wanted it. Impetuous. Very base desires. And the Gemara says is that his downfall began now. This is his downfall right now in Aza. The Abarbanel says, Hayanimshach Achar Ta'avasa. He was continuing in his base desires and doing what he wanted to do, and he needed that immediately. So the Gemara then continues, not the Gemara, the Mefarshim continue and further talk about this issue. And we'll see who this woman is, right? About whether she was Megayer. We learned the Rambam. The Rambam says he was not with any woman that was not Megayeres or not over here. So that is what we'll have to discuss. It comes up in the Pasuk Dal. Yes?
My comment before, I didn't mean that now this is a list. I'm talking about all the way in the beginning we started to learn this even after a list. And it seems that someone that's a Nazir has to restrain themselves. And he's restraining himself in certain areas of drink and kindness here. But when it came to a woman, his history was that he couldn't restrain.
Right.
So going back.
Yeah. Okay. So Mendy is, I think what you're saying is there's an irony here. The irony is that he has like a very high tolerance level, or like his life is all about Naziras, which is restraint, holding back from temptation. And now all of a sudden he can do that when it comes to wine, when it comes to cutting his hair, when it comes to women, it's like he can't. There's actually a what? Yeah. Right. That's different. We'll see how this like plays into, you know, his role as leader, as renegade leader of the Jewish people. Meaning, you know, who's going to today look at Shimshon and say, like, we are following the path of Shimshon? Who are those people today in contemporary society? You know, so I think we need to think about it. Is that like, you could look at Shimshon as he is like the best implanted spy because the Jewish people lay no claim to him. And he's like a man on a mission. So he's a one man wrecking ball, which is great for the Jewish people because they never get blamed for anything, right? Or is he like a guy or officer in the army who just goes off and just does horrific things, which unfortunately we hear about in the news. And they're saying, we're just following the laws of Shimshon. Yeah.
Just taking a woman for the night is not a foreign concept. The Torah says that, you know, go out to war, see a woman. Yeah, so it must have been a very common thing.
A Jewish woman, different than a zona. Yeah. There are laws around it, but yeah, it's not as uncommon as we talk about today. Correct. Different, totally different construct in terms of how that worked. I think there was a study. Mendy, you reminded me of a study. That you're on a diet, right? So how much, you know, can you hold back from something? Or how does that work? Is that a mindset that I'm really good at like not giving in to the vanilla meltaway that's just standing there talking to me and saying, eat me. You know, like and or like how much can I hold it? So some people are good at that, and some people aren't good at that. Is that how it works? And even if you're working on it, like, is it just like, okay, flip on a switch? So I think there's research. I heard this from a friend of mine, Dr. Alex Mandra. He shared with me that the way that it works is not like you flip on that switch and like you're motivated and whatever it is. It's that every day you wake up and you have a certain amount of the ability to hold back from things. And at a certain point during your day, it could be that you're at zero. So what the best thing, like for why is important, for dieting, we know this, what's true, don't have it in your house. And if you're gonna have it in your house, it shouldn't be in front of you. Because every single time, if let's say you're at 100 and you wake up in the morning, you walk by 95, right? And then you, oh, I always go to 7-Eleven. I get the big gulp. 90. You know, like, and certain days, if you drive by too many things and walk by too many times, your body, like, there's wear and tear. And then at a certain point, you can't say no anymore. You can't say no. And again, we're talking about food. We're not talking about women and other people and involvement. But, like, you could now think of this in a global level. And you maybe could talk about it with Shimshon, regarding the fact that he lived his whole life, no wine, right? No cutting hair, very strict limitations in certain areas. So for some people, that means, oh, I'm very, I'm very good all around. For others, if I'm going to be good here, right, for the screen, in other areas, I'm going to have no choice. Like it just naturally, like I can't have any restraints. I can't have any restraints. So maybe psychologically, that's what's going on. Yeah.
I think each individual is given a certain time that they really have to deal with.
That's true. That's true, too. Yeah.
Like, I had a friend. He always wanted to be able to eat a cheeseburger. That was his thing in the world. He always wanted to taste. Right? A lot of the people, like Shipshow, seems to be his thing.
Yeah. So now listen what happens. So if you're living in Aza, those days, right? So you hear about Shimshon coming into town. It's not so good, right? Anyone have Ring doorbell here? No? Ring. You have Ring? You have the alerts on your phone? It's crazy, right? Okay, you'll teach me how to turn them off because they have alerts. What do they have here? They want to create a society where, like, because it's part of their brand that they want to, like, oh, now Ring gives you security, not because you see who's at your door, but because, like, the Reimans heard some noise in their backyard. So they're going to post on this, like, thing, on this, like, global chat, heard noise in the backyard on Hartley, right? So, okay. So, and then I'm going to get nervous. I'm going to, like, be on watch in my backyard. What's going to happen in my backyard? And I'm in a radius of 3 miles. So anything that I hear, heard gunshots, really firecrackers, right? And it makes everybody crazy, as if we weren't already, right? So now just imagine what alerts were going off with Shimshon coming to town. What was, you know, everybody's reaction? Not so good. Hello, he killed 30 people here. He killed about, you know, a few thousand with a jawbone and the foxes. And, like, we know that he, you know, and we need to be on his good side. What should we do? So listen what happens. La'azasim le'mor. It was said to the people of Gaza. Ba'ashim shon heina. Vayasobu vayervu lo kol halayla. Ishar ha'ir. They heard that he came. Their reaction was that they laid in wait around the house that he was in with this woman the entire night. So he's encircled the house. Vayisharshu kol alayla imor at or haboker vaharginuhu. Let's wait and pray until the morning. And then when he comes out in the morning, we will just go ahead and attack. All right. So now, why is it, would this be your reaction? Would this be what you would do if you hear that Shimshon is in town? No, what would you do? What?
Go on vacation.
Go on vacation. Get out of here, right? Don't even. Yeah. So. Go on medication. Okay. Okay. So if you look at the language, by very call it Bishar Ha'ir. Bishar Ha'ir, some say mean like they came from all over. Others say, Mitzudas David and the Radak both right, that what they did was Savru Be'ir. They didn't surround the house. They surrounded the entire city. They didn't know which house he was in. And they figured, how are they going to kill him when he's leaving town the next morning? They figured this was a one-night, you know, job. He would leave town, and outside of the outskirts of town, they would go ahead and attack them. This way, nobody else would get hurt. It would just be them. And this way, this is what happened. This is what would happen. Yeah.
How much time has expired since he did his last wipeout of the Plishtim? He did that mass killing. Do you have any idea? Is this years or months? Or
It's unclear. It's unclear.
So you think it's a very short period of time?
Probably, yeah, yeah. It sounds like a long enough where they where it spread, and not too long where they're still afraid of him. Rav David Vali, in his parish, writes an extra point here. He says that Shimshon's antennas would be up and guard would be up in town, because he knew the second he left the house, he'd be looking around, because that's where the Plishtim are walking around. And his guard would be up. But the second he left the gate of the city, he would figure everyone's away. So it's Dafka at that point that they wanted to attack him, because they figured he would be most vulnerable in that specific moment. Okay. Be'eshkav Shimshon ad chatzi ha'layla, but obviously, things don't happen as they plan. Shimshon slept into the middle of the night, at chatzi ha'layla, vayakam b'chatzi ha'layla. He got up in the middle of the night. Vayechoz b'dalsel shar ha'ir, u'b'shtei mezuzos, v'isa'im im habriach, v'yazim al tefa v'aleim, arosh ahar, asher p'nei chevron. So Shimshon slept into the middle of the night. He got up in the middle. He broke off from the hinges, the doorposts of the gate, tore them off with the lechi, with the crossbar, placed them on his shoulders, and he went and climbed on top of a mountain near Hebron, where the face is Hebron. Okay, so my height. Like, what's so? Vahi bechatzi alayla. Chazal say, where do we ever hear these words before? Pesach, right? Pesach. You're already exhausted. It's like, so it's good. The Winkler minhag is to make up a tune and sing that to a tune. Usually, atataka works. So if you say it, the kids you fall asleep in the middle. This way, you have a tune. Vahi bechatzi alayla. Chazal say, always refers to Pesach. Whenever you see in Chazal the words Vayakam b'chatzi ha'layla, Vayhi b'chatzi ha'layla, it's always a reference to Passover. So here, this is also a reference to Pesach. With that in mind, maybe you see a further reference to Pesach in this pasuk. What else do you see? A reference to maybe the first Pesach. What does Shimshon do? What? What does he do? He takes the door. Ubishtei mezuzos. Right? This is the first Pesach. First Pesach had to do with the door. The door had to be closed. And they put the blood on the mezuzos. So this is like a further textual reference to the fact that he was here.
Rabbi,
yeah.
So going back to again, went to the Christian's house. Whatever reason. And by the way, this is what you do on Pesach. I mean, it's like, it's really.
Okay.
It
yeah.
Really
yeah.
My idea, but,
yeah.
Especially if you went there for. Definitely
to be with her, correct.
It's beyond me.
So I will tell you, I saw this last night, that the Or Zarua, the Sefer called, the Or Zarua is a Rishon. I don't know if this is that same Rishon, someone else, writes that he ended up not being with this woman. He ended up not being with this woman. And that's why, what is this? What is the language? Vayavo elaha. What it does not say, Navi does not say, Vayishkavima. Vayavo elaha, he approached her, he was with her, but the fact that he got up in the middle of the night and he left, etc., he was awake, he was not with her. And that's, and the Gemara, not the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, actually based on the Gemara, writes that a husband and wife should not be together except in the middle of the night, Bam Salai. So where was he, Bam Salai? Bam Salai, he was already leaving. So therefore that doesn't work out with everything here, and that's why they didn't. Why did he grab the door? Why did he break the door off? So the Mefarshim say he broke the door off because they closed the door on him. They wanted to make it a little bit more challenging. First of all, the doors close at night for a city. That's the way it is. And they wanted to make it more challenging. So they probably put some like this like crossbar there to block it even more. This way, by the time he would come out from the door, they knew he'd break it down. He'd be a little bit weaker. And they'd attack. But they were probably sleeping. We're too weak in the middle of the night. Or he surprised them. Therefore, there was no major attack over here. The Acharechein, right? And now, what happens next? Vayahav Isha. He falls in love. This is different. He doesn't just see a woman and want to be with her, but he falls in love with her. V'nachal Sorek. V'nachal Sorek. And this woman's name is? Anyone know? It's the famous one. Yeah? Delilah. Delilah. In Hebrew, we call her Delilah. Delilah, but Samson and Delilah has been the subject of many movies, books, right? This is an opera? Really? I didn't know that. It's an opera. Okay. Wow. Who knew? So he sees her in Nachal Sorek. Nachal Sorek is the name of a river or a brook. Nachal can mean a brook. So Sorek. An Ilan Sorek, I don't know what an Ilan Sorek is. An Ilan Sorek is a tree that is bereft of any fruit. So now what's the message here? So the Medrash writes, Mahu benachal Sorek, shenazek Ilan she'en osa peiros. Kachem shenishtalesh b'chet, naase moed lavero. So just like a nachal Sorek is a brook that's near trees that don't produce fruit. At this point, Shimshon was like a person that did not produce fruits. He was steeped in Avera at this point by Nechab, right, being involved with these people. Therefore, he was not somebody that was at his high status that he had beforehand. Delilah or Delilah and comes from the word dildala. Dildala means to weaken. That ultimately what she did is what her name represented. She weakened his heart. She weakened his strength. She weakened his actions. everything that she was able to do caused a weakness to Shimshon himself. Okay, so now but he falls in love with her. He didn't fall in love before, right? Did he fall in love with the first woman? I don't know. No. I don't see the word Vayahad there. He married her. So last pasuk for today, Vayalu Elaha Sarni Pushtim, Vayomrula, Hati Oso Iba Mekocho Gadol, Venuchalo Vasrenuhum, Vanoso, Vanach Nitanlach, Ish Elef Umea Kesef. So at this point, the Sarni Pushtim. The Plishtim have different levels of leadership. We see this throughout the Tanakh, that they have the military leaders, they have warriors. They have Sarni Plishtim, which seem to be like some advisor, the council, governors. And they go over to, and they approach Delilah. And they say to her, please seduce him. And seduce him to the point that you find out where his mekocho gadol, where his strength comes from. This way, we can trap him. We could torture him. And by doing this, each of us, right? The leaders are putting their money to the middle of the table. We're not taking governmental funds. We're not using our tax money. We're giving our money, 1,100 pieces of silver from each one of us. We don't have any to work. But each one of us is going to give our money to ensure that this vigilante is taken to task. We can imprison him, and ultimately that will lead to his demise. So we will, Be'ezras Hashem, continue next week about exactly how she entrapped him. We will learn today that there's a law in place called, I forgot exactly, a law related to Shimshon. Okay, we'll learn about it. In the Israeli army today. We'll learn about what that is, Ezra Hashem, next week. Wish everybody a great, great day and wonderful, wonderful week.